Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
The Cubs are in Detroit for a potential World Series. Yes, we said it. World Series preview against the Tigers, who boast the best record in baseball. Who wins the series?
And I'm not sure that there is a better pitcher than Skubal at this point.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a miss in time to get Turner. And the Cubs squander a golden opportunity.
They're coming in hot. I think the Tigers will lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. So who's winning the series, Dustin?
The Cubs would not get swept.
Fly ball, shallow left. This game and this series is over. Cubs get shut out by a score of 4-0. And the Tigers win 2 out of 3.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Just to make sure everybody's listening.
Yeah, I'm listening.
The team that they have today, that team, Cubs are done in 5 against the Tigers.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, what a glorious weekend. The weather's changed a little bit. The world's a better place. Would have been better if the Cubs had done better in Detroit, but they faced some awful good pitching. The White Sox won a series against the Royals.
How about that?
That doesn't compute.
No,
that
it
is
doesn't.
Illogical.
But it happened. Good morning, Mully. Happy Monday.
Morning.
Cubs season in Detroit. Weekend in Detroit was disappointing. Sox, I think, was encouraging. Home against the Royals, that was a lot of fun. They played well. They did not win. They did not get the sweep, but they won the series. They have some pieces.
They looked a lot better.
Yeah,
they did. Was it the second game or the rookie scored all the runs? That was just wild, you know. I don't know. There's a better vibe there. Maybe
it's youth.
Maybe the big announcement.
It's the possibility of youth.
It's a possibility of hope.
Yeah.
the idea that maybe there's something at the end of the tunnel.
It does make you feel that way. Kyle Teal's debut on Friday night was electric.
And
the stadium at Ballpark had 39,000 people there.
Mexican Heritage Night. Wow, was that full? I mean, and jam-packed.
The stadium was jam-packed. The parking lots were even more so.
You were there.
Yes, I was there. In and out, a little bit tricky. But the Sox, nonetheless, that was one of the better moments of the season. Kyle Teal's debut, the Sox win. They followed that up with another victory Saturday. And they did not give up in the ninth inning. They came rallying back yesterday.
That was wild.
So they win 2 out of 3 against the Royals. The Cubs, meanwhile, in Detroit. That was a humbling weekend. And I think or maybe that's overstating it, but I think what you were reminded of, there's still a gap between you and if the Tigers are the best team in baseball, the best team in baseball.
Well, there's a gap in the starting pitching, and there's no way around that. Skubal is really a good player. Jack Flaherty, you forget how good he is.
You forget how good he is.
And he's excellent.
He's
and
great stuff.
That's a problem if you have to face them in a World Series. Well, again, this is not a problem unless you get there.
This is what I think, to me, was the biggest difference over the weekend. And this is oversimplifying it, but in a nutshell, the Tigers are built for the playoffs. The Cubs right now aren't because they don't have the 1-2 punch.
Yes.
With the starting pitchers.
Yes.
You look at the Tigers, and whether it's a seven-game series, and you see Skubal and Flaherty, you think that you have a chance every time those guys pitch. So theoretically, that's 4 times in a seven-game series. And the Cubs, I don't know that you have that kind of certainty with your starting rotation yet. That's why I think this weekend screamed for a response from the front office before the deadline.
Yes.
Get a starter.
Get a big name, get an ace.
Top of the rotation starter.
Get an ace.
Go get an ace.
Yeah.
Somebody might be out there. It might be expensive. Likely it will be. But if you feel like this is your year potentially, then go and be aggressive because you don't have what those kinds of teams have because the Tigers out-cubbed the Cubs.
Yeah.
They were very good defensively.
Yep.
They ran the bases smart.
They did.
They were good enough offensively, but they got good pitching and defense. And in that ballpark, Comerica Park, as spacious as it is, that's enough.
That's enough. Yeah, it was was sobering to a certain extent because of exactly what you're saying. They just have better pitching than the Cubs, better starting pitching, and I don't think there's any way around that. And I don't think that matters necessarily until you get to the postseason, but that is something that you've got to be very much aware of as you inch ever closer. I mean, we got months before we worry.
Well, we have months to kick it around.
But today's still saying,
it
was a difference.
It's a valid
two teams
point because it's an ongoing conversation. It's June 9th.
Yeah,
the Cubs have a long time before you have to be too concerned. But this was a good. This was a good measuring stick, if you will. And also offensively, not as worried, but you can't ignore this, Molly. Over the last 5 games, the Cubs have been shut out twice.
That's
and
the reality.
They've managed 14 runs in those 5 games, 3 of them losses. And your offense at times has sputtered. The great offense that has scored all the runs and gives you a chance to believe this could be the year or this could be a special season. Just had a week that wasn't very good.
And now they've got Philadelphia, a team that's not playing very good. They have not been winning, but I think when you think about Philadelphia, whatever the reality is of how they're playing right now, they got pitching.
They got pitching.
You think of them as a good pitching staff.
And,
so.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
If Flaherty and Skubal shut you down, good luck with Zach Wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's next. And that's not going to be easy. And the Phillies are struggling. I think they lost 2-1 to the Pirates.
They've been stacking losses, haven't they?
They've struggled. They've struggled.
I think they put some losses together. I think they're kind of in a bad.
They have lost 5 in a row,
yeah.
And they are 1-9 in their last 10.
Yeah.
So
So jump on them.
Come on. But to David's point, to your point, like the offense hasn't done exactly. I mean, yeah, great. Saturday, five home runs, but that was it.
Yeah.
Right? So they're going to have to do a little bit better than that. And these are some good pitchers that they're going to face.
Even Craig Counsell on Saturday afterward, he was like, you're not going to see that very often.
It's like, could you enjoy? You want to talk about people not enjoying this?
He didn't seem to be enjoying that.
He wasn't enjoying the fact that his team had five home runs in front of 40,000 people, and the game was like 2 hours and 8 minutes or something.
We didn't do much else, but we hit five homers. Maybe you hit five homers, you don't have to do much else.
Some teams would be happy to hit five home runs in a week, let alone in a game.
I know.
And you won. And you bounced. Here's the one thing, and we'll see what happens tonight. The Cubs have been excellent off of a loss.
Right.
They're like 19-6 off of a loss. So I thought the game didn't go the way fans would have wanted to Friday, but it kind of went how we thought it would go.
Right.
Skubal didn't strike out as many as I thought. You guys were right. It was kind of only six, I think. I think
They were begging you to take the under.
Yeah, and I guess you should have.
But he was good.
He was good. No, but he didn't need to strike guys out. But my point is, that was a bad loss, and then you did bounce back the next day. So we'll see. I think today will be very telling if the Cubs can do what they've been doing and bounce back after a loss. So
I think they can bounce back after a loss. Matthew Boyd's on the mound. I think when you look at their starting rotation, there are guys that come up. Jameson Taillon was outstanding.
Really good.
He's pitching like an ace at times. But you're right, Mully. You need to have the mindset, if you're the Cubs and you come out of that Detroit series, you have the mindset of go get an ace.
Well, you got a lot. I mean, your team is good, and you are playing good baseball, generally speaking, for the entirety of the year. And I do expect them to do better today, and I do expect them to do well in this series because, in part, of how Philadelphia is playing. But I think it was hard to come away from watching those two pitchers against them and say, you know, Cade Horton, he was good. He was fine. He wasn't as good as he's been.
Need him to take
and
a step.
He wasn't good enough.
No.
But like the two runs early, you gave an ace a two-run lead.
Yeah.
That's not a
Cade
good
Cade Horton's
idea.
Numbers in the first inning are not very good. I wonder if – I think everything's relative, but relative to the rest of his – innings and his performance, the first inning is not very good, and I wonder how much conversations they will have before his next appearance whether or not to use an opener with him.
I was thinking that as well. Like he's the next guy to have that opener
or to have that meeting or that recognition of what's not going well in the first inning and why. Ben Brown seems to have maybe turned the corner. He was outstanding Friday night. He pitched. He matched Skubal for the better part of four or five innings, and he benefited from a little shift in his approach, perhaps. I wonder if now's the time for Cade Horton.
But see, I agree with you, but I think he's not Skubal. What I'm saying is, like, that Skubal is unbelievable. That guy, every time he gets the ball, he gives you an outing like that. Not so much Jack Flaherty, but he's capable of it. And you wonder how a guy like that will do if you get into the playoffs and that kind of situation.
Flaherty has the pedigree. He's got the experience. Yes. He's got that sort of veteran moxie and the stuff still. With Skubal, maybe not the experience, but he has been as good as any pitcher in baseball the last 3 years.
He's as good as anybody.
So you don't worry about him. Question. He gives you hope that you can win any series because of the possibility he could pitch three times.
Yeah,
in a seven-game series.
No, it's true.
The Cubs did not have a good weekend on the bases, and I think that also started on Friday, which was very strange to see PCA in the midst of a odd situation, rounding third with Quentin Berry, with the confusion on third base. Go, stay. And then it hurt the Cubs.
Yes.
So the Cubs weren't the Cubs this weekend. I think the Tigers were the version of the team that you saw doing the little things with defense, with pitching, and they're the better team right now. And that should resonate loudly in that front office.
I was really hoping the Cubs would do better against Skubal after they pulled him from a Sox start. Because they're better than the Sox, and then saved him for the Cubs. That I just didn't want that to pay off.
It paid off?
Well, it didn't really because the Sox beat them that day. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
So I'm saying they lost a game. It didn't benefit them. It benefited them in that series, but not in terms of wins and losses for the.
But I think weighed equally.
Yeah.
If that sounds odd, but true. You're better off beating the Cubs in the way that they beat them Friday night with Scooble on the mound and making that kind of statement than maybe.
They look scarier doing that
than
actually winning a series against the White Sox, who somehow managed to win four games out of a seven-game home stretch, which I thought they'd be lucky to win two.
It was encouraging. It was a really good weekend and series, and the Sox have had a good week from the announcement about the ownership shift and Justin Ishbia's involvement to calling Kyle Teal up to the performance on the field. Four and three at home. That's what they finished the homestand, correct?
Ridiculous.
It's very good.
Especially after the way they played in Baltimore.
How about the story about the relief pitcher in the Uber?
That was unbelievable. The kid from Milwaukee. On Sunday morning, and then he Ubered down.
How long?
That was so hilarious.
How much would that cost?
That's a good question.
I'm not on Uber a lot.
They referred to it as a 90-minute drive. I don't know, man. That might be a little bit more than 90 minutes. That might be at least. I don't know.
I can see 90 minutes. If it's 90 minutes, you have a very good.
It means
Uber
you got
driver.
No traffic.
That's flying, no traffic.
And you're pushing it.
So Tyler Alexander is the reliever we're talking about. Yeah. Lefty. He's 30 years old. He's a veteran.
Yes.
He signed a one-year contract.
He was DFA'd a week ago by Milwaukee, and then he went through waivers and he opted to sign. So he'd been talking with the White Sox, and he knew that if he signed, there was a good chance he would pitch. But nonetheless, he signed Sunday morning, got an Uber. I mean, imagine
you wake up in Milwaukee.
You Uber to the rate, and then you end up pitching three innings.
If you're covering the game or going to the game, that's not as hard to understand or grasp.
Exactly.
If you're pitching in the game, it might be a little bit more of a leap.
He did okay. He took the loss, but he had only one earned run allowed in three innings. That's pretty good.
He did miss the 21st birthday party for softball. He did miss that pregame. But I think he'll be okay. Yeah, what a whirlwind day for somebody like that. He let go by the Brewers, stayed in Milwaukee, and worked something out with the Sox. The second time this year that's happened to the White Sox with a former Brewers pitcher, Adrian Hauser. Remember that? They signed him during the day. He pitches at night. He's become one of their best starters. Now here comes Tyler Alexander in an Uber.
$173.92 right now.
173.92.
It's 5:45 in the morning, though.
I'm saying so. Right now, it's $173.92. I mean, just give where we're at. I put from where we're at to Milwaukee. Okay.
$200, though. Probably $200.
Well, I mean, I hope you tip the guy.
Roughly.
At least give him a 5-star review.
Yeah.
What'd they talk about?
I don't know.
Do you think he shared the story?
You know,
with the Uber driver, or it was a total silence.
It's an awful long drive to not say a word.
It is, but some people don't like to talk in the car.
Are you a talker in an Uber ride?
No,
I think I'm
probably not.
I think I try to be like, "Hey, good morning, how are you?"
I'm not unpleasant, but I don't think I'm chatty.
Hello.
I don't think you ever want to be unpleasant or impolite.
I don't like it. I don't like talking during a haircut either.
Oh, God, I think the haircut is one of the most relaxing things there is.
Oh, you can talk during a haircut.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big talking haircut guy.
You can just kind of sit there and vegetate, and it's a wonderful
Well, it depends on who's cutting your hair, too. If you know, I've been going to the same person for 17 years.
Well, that makes it a little different.
So it's a lot different. It's like having a catch up with your friend.
Have you gotten the same haircut?
Basically. Does it look any different? Yeah. Probably.
I mean, I go to Grey Clips. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, they're all very nice and everything. And
love your brand loyalty.
It keeps your notes. It keeps the little notes, right? And so
they know what you want.
And I'm like, yep, same thing. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep.
My buddy
has gone to the same barber for, I don't know, 45, 50 years. And I mean, he goes to the same barber shop.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets the regular boy's haircut. And he's gotten that since he was like 9 years old.
There's something very
is that hilarious?
Very comforting about that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that for him, there's something very comforting about walking in to that environment.
I would imagine.
And getting the same approach. It's something that's stable. Yeah, I could see that. It's I don't how much funny. Talking does he do? A lot?
I don't think he's a big talker.
No?
No. I don't know.
I'll tell you what's really awkward.
You know what I love? I love a guy that doesn't speak a lot of English doing my hair. I really do, because then I don't feel like I have to...
A guy who doesn't speak a lot of English?
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you don't have to keep up.
I don't have to keep chatting with him.
I think that's good. Yeah. And you probably have never sounded better to
anybody.
To anybody.
That's exactly
than
right.
You do to him.
Yeah.
I what is really awkward is if you're at the dentist. And the dentist starts talking.
Oh, because you're like, ah.
Yeah. And the dentist wants to talk sports. Or the dentist wants to talk about whatever. And you're like, yeah. It's very awkward.
That's hysterical.
And, growing up, my childhood dentist, the hometown dentist, was always somebody who I had a good relationship with and knew very well and would talk a lot. I just could never answer.
That's hysterical.
So it was like a monologue.
Isn't that the Ricky Gervais movie where he's like a dentist and he like is a really grumpy dentist and he like people try to talk to him and he just shoves something in their mouth?
I don't know.
I think there's some, it's actually not a bad movie.
Yeah, but
Ricky Gervais.
In an Uber, typically, yeah, it depends really. It depends on the time of day. You know, if it's really early. This wasn't real early. This was a noon Uber. He got to the ballpark by 1:30. And plus, he might be kind of excited. He might be kind of energetic. He might have wanted to share his story with the Uber driver. Hey, do you know where I'm going?
What did he
do
have
you know
work
where I'm going?
To do? Did he have like, did they send him like a preview of the people? And you know what I mean? Could he go through it and watch some?
Maybe so.
Yeah, maybe it was a work Uber.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be really the sign of the times where you sign a guy at noon, You ship him, you send him to his phone, device, or whatever, all of the scouting report and information. So by the time he arrives at 1:30, he's ready to go to the bullpen, get dressed, put on that number 70 uniform, and take the mound.
That's pretty awesome. It was cool. But it tells you something about the talent level.
It tells you something about the Sox bullpen.
Yeah, just saying.
Yeah.
When you're signing the guy and, okay, hey, get down here and pitch.
That's the reality part.
Yeah, that's the...
The made-for-TV movie stuff is much better.
Yeah, that's fun, but it's sad that this not the first time you've had to do it this year.
So the Sox made it close. They had a rally in the ninth. Tim Elko went down swinging to make the final out.
You got him to the plate. He's the guy that can run into a homer out of your group, and you got him to the plate with a chance to win the game.
And it would have been...
Didn't they have two guys on?
Yeah, they did.
They did. He could have hit a three-run homer.
It would have been a really great ending to an encouraging weekend.
Yeah, I agree.
But he swung and missed, and it's going to happen. Yeah. He had a pretty good weekend, though.
He had a good weekend, no doubt about it.
He had a pretty good weekend. And that infield, you know, the thing that's missing now to that infield is really Colson Montgomery.
He's on fire right now.
He got hit in the hand, though.
Yeah, I know.
He had two homers on Thursday, then he got hit in the hand.
Didn't he hit two homers again? Did he hit? What did he do?
Thursday night.
No. He did it. I think he had two really good games.
Well, he has. I think he got hit in the hand, and then he hasn't come back since then.
Oh, he hasn't. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll double check on that.
What I read must have been about the earlier.
Well, he has hit better since he's come back from the Camelback spot.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can say it worked yet, but I do think he's in a position for a promotion. And so this is what I believe.
I kind of like Majerov where he's at. I don't know.
I don't know, though. I understand why you'd say that. Chase Majerov has been very good, and I love the play he made barehanded the other night.
He's good.
He's a dirty uniform guy.
He is a dirty uniform guy.
But he can also play second base. Montgomery could play short, get Vargas at third and Elko at first. That's an infield that gives you hope. Kyle Teal catching, his enthusiasm is infectious. He's one of those guys that has that kind of charisma that you think is going to be – you can envision him being a leader of this team. If he can be as good of a player as some people – most people project him to be, that's a really fun infield to consider for the White Sox. A lot of youth. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we're saying here, they had a good week. I mean, there's no other way around it. The future looks at least like there's an out plan, so that's better than
they got a professional outfield. You know, they've got
they do. They brought
Benintendi, Robert, and Talkman.
Guys back from injury. Slater's not bad either.
Yeah, he's not bad.
They
had a good talk with Mike Talkman Saturday morning inside the clubhouse.
Really?
Yeah, he's
good.
A pro.
Yeah.
Ask him some Bears question. Ask him a Bears question as Bruce kind of cringed.
Because he's from Palatine. He's Palatine
Pounder.
Yeah,
he's a big Bears fan. Yeah. So I thought, why not?
Yeah, that's fun.
Take a shot.
And Bruce cringed?
Yeah, Bruce doesn't like talking football during baseball time. It's kind of like laughing in church, you know?
It's kind of like Biggs doesn't like talking hockey. Yeah. During football time.
that's good. That's like sacred territory. Yeah, he doesn't. The hockey, by the way. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, that's good.
Friday night.
What happens tonight? OT? Has to be.
It's got to be. The first two
Crazy.
Games have been outstanding.
Yeah.
And Brad Marchand scores in double overtime to win it for the Panthers. That drove me crazy. Anybody but him.
Uh-oh.
I just don't.
What did he say?
I don't know.
He must have said something.
He just looks like a guy you want to punch in the face. He's got a big punchable face. And he's great. He's a great hockey player. No doubt about it. He comes through in the clutch. He's Mr. Postseason. But that was disheartening.
All right. We've got the pick six next. We're going to tear apart all the big stories of the weekend. And we'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was more stunning, the fact that Nico Horner was tossed so quickly from the fifth inning of Sunday's shutout loss to the Tigers, or the reason he got run by the umpire, Derek Thomas?
I mean, I don't think it's really that often you can verbatim say to the press afterwards, like, what got you thrown out? So I said, you're having a really bad day.
Indeed, Horner could be heard saying exactly those words after being rung up for a K after laying off what was clearly low inside pitch. He also said the same thing to Craig Counsell, who was also ejected.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all. I was watching that, and it was like they rung, like he turned, and you just immediately thought, magic words. That was, and you know, once again, Ron Coomer all over it, right? It was like way too fast. The guy, you know, you want to know how to make a really bad call? Make a bad call and then exasperate it by throwing a guy out when he says you're having a bad day. That's a bad day. That was a bad call. That wasn't close to a strike. And it wasn't close to a strike because it was inside and it was low. It wasn't like there was one element of it that, well, he didn't, you know, it was borderline. No, it wasn't. That was a ball. And he rang him up. And then Nico turns around and says a sentence to the guy and boom, he's gone. And Craig Counsell came out and got his money's worth. And I'm sure his language got a little saltier. Might have been some magic words said there. But by then, the damage was done. And I'm telling you, like, Major League Baseball will not admit it. They won't come out and say, well, yeah, you shouldn't have thrown him out, or they wouldn't. You know, they'll say you're not allowed to argue balls and strikes. And he argued balls and strikes, so he was within his rights as an umpire to run him. But, dude, be better. You got to be better than that. You can't. I don't think it impacted the game. In other words, I don't think they win the game if Craig Counsell is there for the whole game, or if Nico is able to stay into the game. But it was just wrong, and it was an overreaction, and it was insane.
Maybe they could have ejected the third base coach. He did not have a good weekend for the Cubs up in Detroit. I was glad that Craig decided to come out. I've been critical of Craig over the years, if you're just tuning into the show, for not getting out of the dugout and not getting into the umpire's grill in certain situations. So good for him that he did that. I'm not surprised that the umpire threw him out. I'm disappointed, but I'm not surprised. I mean, these guys, you know, they think that they're like nobody cares. No, nobody
goes out there.
Nobody
to see
paid.
You umpire.
Nobody bought a ticket to say, oh, I can't wait to see what his strike zone is going to be, or his enthusiasm behind the plate is a reason to go. So, you know, shame on that guy for ruining Nico's day and Craig's day. But good for Craig to get out there and have his guys back.
Yeah, it was a frustrating end to a frustrating weekend, and that typified it as much as anything. You know, Nico Horner is a highly respected player, which made it all the more surprising. But if you were Derek Thomas or any umpire, I know they have all kinds of levels and layers of accountability, and they evaluate them and they measure them, and that creates a lot of stress and pressure. But there's got to be some accountability for stuff like this, because I don't know. We heard what Nico Horner said. We've heard what Craig Counsell said after the fact. Did we hear Derek Thomas quoted? These umpires should have to address ejections and explain exactly why they did what they did. And maybe that would be something that would prevent some of these hasty, rash overreactions in game. like this, because this was an overreaction. This was something that it was he just snapped, and you can't have that happen. The game wasn't affected by it, not necessarily, but good for Craig Council. He comes out to defend his player, but I think what's missing here is the accountability of the umpires. They don't speak publicly unless it's in a pool report or a rare case like this, or a rare case in general. But in a case like this, I think you need to hear from him.
Pick six.
What's the right way to interpret Cubs losing the so-called World Series preview to the Tigers? What element of the Cubs let you down the most? And is this a measuring stick series? How do the Cubs measure up to the best team in baseball?
Cubs are a very good team. They're not a great one. Not yet. They don't have a healthy rotation, but that doesn't mean that when healthy, it's a great rotation. The Tigers reminded the Cubs of what a finished product looks like. They have a rotation that you feel like is ready for October now. And this has been the case with Detroit probably since last August, when they started to take off and take shape. In Jack Flaherty and Tarek Skubal, you have two pitchers that give you hope in any playoff series against any team in baseball. The Cubs, frankly, don't have two starters that give you that same kind of feeling. So if you're looking for big takeaways, and I'm not thrilled with the offense, they scored 7 runs in 3 games, and in 2 of those games, it was 1 run on Friday night and shutout yesterday. So the offense took the wrong weekend off. But to me, the bigger message is that Jed Hoyer, you need to go out and get a top-of-the-rotation starting pitcher by the trade deadline to put your team in a better position. Shota will come back. Maybe you add a starter, and maybe you can match some of the great teams in there. Bruce mentioned a couple names over the weekend, which are very intriguing. Merrill Kelly from Arizona, Zach Eflin from Baltimore, Chris Sale from Atlanta. These are names of aces that might be available by the time the deadline arrives, and I think it's one of these things that is speculation we have to pay attention to.
Well, those names are pretty juicy that you just mentioned, David. It went almost exactly, unfortunately, as I thought it would go. I didn't think they would get swept. I didn't like the Friday game at all. But going back to the Friday game, I do, and I know we have. I just want to do it again. You know, Ben Brown, better than expected, went toe-to-toe with Skubal in that contest. So that's a good sign. But they're short two arms. And we had a little fun, you know, trying, let's compare the 25 team to the 16 team. No comparison. Zero. Starting staff, so different in 16. Even a healthy Cubs staff, different than the 16 team. Not as good. So you definitely need another, you need an ace. And you need an ace with swing and miss stuff. That's the other part of this. So when the offense does have a night, or when you're going against the other team's ace that does have swing and miss stuff, you can stay in the game at least until you get to a bullpen, right? So it's just you find yourself down 2 or 3 to nothing, and you can't rally back from it. So it was disappointing, but unfortunately kind of went the way I expected it to go.
Yeah, you know, I think pitching wins championships. I think that you need pitching if you plan on getting yourself a title. I think we've seen 2 World Series in this town since 2005. And they both teams, you know, had a pitcher on their staff who dominated over the course of probably a year and a half and was as good as any pitcher in baseball over that period of time. And I don't know where the Cubs are with that one. Obviously, losing Steele and having Shota down is a problem for them, and they've overcome it. But I think what that series reminded you of is that Shota will be back, but Steele is gone, and you've got to go out and get a lockdown, playoff veteran type of pitcher, somebody that can win you a game, especially. You know, you look at guys like Skubal and Flaherty's performance. Flaherty struck out everybody, right? Did he have 9 strikeouts on the day? I think the Cubs struck out 12 times on the day. And I think every starter, every single position player on the team struck out at least once. So that's a little, everybody who played had at least one strikeout. That's how you get to the end of playoff games, right? You need somebody that can mow down a team. If you could get Chris Sale, he could do that. And yeah, he's done that. And he's won a World Series that's doing all. That. I'm just saying, but I know it's impossible.
The lineups, when you compare the everyday positional lineups, the Cubs and the Tigers aren't, the Tigers don't have a great everyday lineup.
No, but it's their pitching.
It's the pitching. It's the bullpen. It's the manager. It's the defense. They played great defense. Wait, what?
Who? The manager?
Yep.
Yeah.
So not even? It's not. You're giving the nod to the Tigers skipper over Craig Counsell?
No. I'm not saying they have an edge in the manager. I'm saying they have a very good manager.
Oh, you just mentioned that. I want to make it.
No. Don't put words in my mouth.
I didn't. That's
don't
why I checked.
Don't put words in my mouth. Okay.
I checked.
He's no Tony La Russa.
I love that question.
What did you make of the White Sox big weekend following the announcement of ownership succession plan? Is there now some light at the end of the tunnel? And can you believe they won a series against their boogeyman team, the Royals from Kansas City, following a better result versus the Tigers than the Cubs managed?
Well, yeah, they did split with Detroit, and the Cubs lost the series. There was an extra game, and they didn't have to face Skubal. But that did happen. I think there was a lot of juice over the weekend for the White Sox. Mainly, you know, the ownership thing is intriguing. I mean, there are some young players that have to know that they will be operating under a different owner if indeed they are able to stick around Chicago. Maybe they won't. I mean, it could be 9 years, right? But there's hope that it'll happen.
I don't think it's going to be 9 years.
I hope not. It was. There is a little hint of light at the end of the tunnel, and they've been losing a lot to Detroit, and they've been losing a ton to the Royals. So they owed the Royals one. And they did win the series. What a pity they didn't get that sweep. That would have been glorious. But they're, I had lost a lot of hope in the White Sox. I thought they played okay against the Mets. But whatever that was in Baltimore, 5-run output, I mean, that was terrible. And Luis Robert was back and, you know, got a hit or two. Yeah, they were... They were significantly better, and it's nice to see the young guys all get together and win a game on Saturday.
Well, I think that's the biggest part of it, is that you got four young guys that all contributed to that particular win that you're mentioning there, Mully. The other thing that is interesting, they are 16-18 at home. Okay, they've got 22 wins on the year, and they've got 16 of those at home. So that's pretty interesting stat. That's good for them. Yeah, all these little things help and add up to some positives over at the rate.
They went 4-3 against two teams that they had been winless against this year in the division. They have been making progress quietly, steadily, you know, incrementally. It's not been huge, but you do see hope, and you see reasons to believe that something is happening on the south side. It may not happen very fast or as quickly as people would want, but it was a very productive week because it was from the off the field stuff we'll continue to talk about to the on the field developments. You bring up Kyle Teal. He looks like your everyday catcher. I think Edgar Carroll can work in there somehow. But as I said earlier, all that's missing really from that young infield that is maybe full of guys getting auditions to be on the White Sox team when they actually are good, is Colson Montgomery. And if you bring him up, fit him in somewhere, if he's playing shortstop, fine. Give him a chance to see what you've got before the All-Star break. And Montgomery and Vargas on the left side, Mydroth and Elko on the right side. You have Teal catching. You got your professional outfield. Your starting pitching has been pretty good. You piece together your bullpen, and they're watchable. And Will Venable's pushing many of the right buttons. Not all of them, but this is a hard team to manage because they're limited talent-wise. But they at least are a team that is worth your time.
I'm not going to take any questions.
In a statement to the Sun-Times, White Sox part owner Justin Ishbia expressed a love for Chicago and baseball. Do you think that's enough to believe he has no plans to move the White Sox to Nashville, where he attended Vanderbilt, owns a share of the pro soccer team, and runs an office? Is that a realistic concern?
Enjoyed the profile or the story on Justin Ishbia in Sunday Sun-Times, giving us a little bit better glimpse of the guy that I think could be more involved or involved sooner rather than later. I don't know why, even a billionaire, if you're a billionaire, you would get involved with ownership of a professional sports team and then sit back and watch it crumble or watch it underperform or watch it do things that you could help improve with your wealth, with your capital. So in the release, they talked about the infusion of capital, the paying off the debt, and running team operations. That sounds like there's going to be some activity there. That sounds like there's a commitment to this team in this town. And certainly with his ties to Nashville, it's fair to wonder, and it's necessary to address because of those links, Vanderbilt, the soccer team, and he still has an office there. But I don't think that the Sox moving to Nashville, that doesn't seem compatible and in line with everything else that's been happening, because the related Midwest 78, the ballpark possibility there, the statement the Sox issued after the fire issued their announcement last week. So I think Justin Ishbia will be involved. I think they're staying in town, and I think that there are reasons to believe that his inclusion is a good thing.
Totally agree. They're not going anywhere. I truly believe this was part of why Jerry went to the Ishbias. Mully does not agree with this at all. I truly, he's trying. It's easier for me to say this and believe this because I'm not a White Sox fan, and I get why White Sox fans would not get on board with this. But I don't think you build the kind of house that he's built here, and you get involved, and then move the team. You know, and also interact. Now, the one thing you could say this, though, the one part where you could say, well, maybe he is going to move the team, and maybe that has to do with the 2029 date, the first time that it could transfer, because that's also when the deal with the state and the city and the county and whoever else is involved over at the rate expires right around that time. So is that the green light to do something else? But I think, you know, this has been all good. The White Sox had a very good week on and off the field last week. Let's see if they continue to have a good month of June.
Yeah, I don't think, again, I'm confused by your insistence that it's somehow this is a kind-hearted sale that is done so it can ensure the future of the. I think he sold the team. I think he's got a guy that is an investor and wants to be an owner of a baseball team, and he's recruited him to be the owner. You know what I don't understand is how much debt they have. How do they have debt like that? How do they have so much debt buildup? It doesn't make sense to me. If you bought that team, like what are we talking about? Where's the debt, and how much is there? I'd love to get those answers. I would love this guy to take over a week from now, right? I mean, I would be really fired up the quicker the better, as far as I can tell. If you have a plan in place, let's get to it. Let's see what that looks like. I like the idea that he's building a home here. He has an office here. His mm-hmm. business is located here. So I don't think, I think having he does a lot of work out of Vanderbilt. They donated some law school thing. You know, the guy's got connections there, but why, I don't think that and Jerry could probably tell him, I don't think that the mayor of Nashville wants to spend money for a stadium any more than the fine people of Chicago or the state of Illinois want to. So I just don't understand why he'd want to move. You know, I mean, he's building a massive home, and his wife was trying to get the kids enrolled into school and everything. They're here, you know. So I think he should stay here, and I hope he does.
Wow, that's a good question.
That is the voice of John Heyman. He will join you guys at 9 o'clock this morning. On Friday, Chris Getz spoke about the relationship with Jerry Reinsdorf and connections to Justin Ishbia, the new part owner.
The last year and a half and the conversations we've had with Jerry, and we'll continue to have those conversations on areas that need to be improved. He's been nothing short of fantastic in regards to giving us the support. I've spent a little bit of time with Justin, more of a casual encounter than anything. Seems like a very, very knowledgeable person when it comes to the game. I know he's got a passion for baseball, and you know, he and I have some commonalities coming from the Metro Detroit area and have migrated to Chicago. So there's always something to talk about.
Do you think Getz will be in a position to benefit from Ishbia's involvement in this team, or will he be long gone by the time Ishbia's expected infusion of capital pays off?
I think he's got an opportunity to better the team and do good work, and that could determine his future. But I don't know that that the loyalty or the affection that Jerry feels toward Chris Getz would be shared by Justin Ishbia. And I don't know how he views the baseball operations when he's going to take over, how he will want that to be run. So I think it'll be really curious. I'm curious to see how much better the Sox get. You know, they brought in some good people that have done some good work. And that would need to kind of continue, and that would need to be emphasized, I think, for Chris Getz to be able to keep his job. But I would imagine that if you were opening a new place, coming in, you might give a guy a year just to get to know what you're doing, but then you'd want to go out and hire Theo.
And listen, I think the Ishbia's got deep enough pockets that they might be able to do just a thing. I don't know, though, that that Theo would want to, you know, take a step back, if you will, and be a general manager.
He's got
again,
ownership,
right?
He's part owner
of the
Fenway
Red Sox,
Capital,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, not specifically, I guess, the Red Sox, but he's got a piece of that. I mean, listen, anything is possible, right? Anything is possible. But Getz now is going to have this rope, if you will, to endear himself. And I don't think it hurts that they have that Michigan connection. That will also help. So stay tuned on that one.
There's only one team in Major League Baseball that has a lower active payroll than the White Sox right now, and that's the Miami Marlins. And when you're talking about Chris Getz being affected by Justin Ishbia's involvement, whatever it may be, I would hope that the next offseason there's some aggressiveness, there's some kind of effort to go out and sign free agents, sign Major League Baseball players, sign people who can fit into your bullpen, into your rotation, into your lineup, and that would cost money. That's where the paying down the debt would be, because you're not drawing attendance-wise, but you're going to be increasing your payroll, ideally, because that's the way you run a major league team. You have to attract, you have to pay talent to come here. The White Sox under Justin Ishbia, or the White Sox under Chris Getz, as they are right now on the field, have to start behaving at some point in time like a big market team. That's why you go out and you initiate conversations with the Ishbias, who are billionaires. And you say, maybe you don't want to buy the Minnesota Twins. Maybe you could infuse some capital into the Chicago White Sox.
Isn't Jerry a billionaire?
Well, I don't know. I think he's referred to as a billionaire. I think there are differences in levels of billionaires and what you're willing to spend. And Justin Ishbia, I think, would be... If he's involved, I'm not sure why he would be a silent partner. I'm not sure why he would be inactive. If you get involved, you get involved. So maybe these are ways that he can help infuse the capital to increase the payroll after the ballpark situation is addressed and taken care of. Those are the two priorities, ballpark and payroll. And I think that those are in the right order. But at some point in time, you've got to start paying for players and talent, and that gets expensive, and that's where your new ownership could come in.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He'll be with the guys at 8:25 this morning. Biggs time. The NFL Network reported Sunday that running back Nick Chubb is going to sign today with the Texans, removing a possible option for the Bears. So how big of a loss is that for the Bears? Or does this suggest they, the Bears, think they have enough in their running back room?
Well, it's interesting that this report comes out about Chubb, and I think J.K. Dobbins was visiting Denver over the weekend, and they're running out of veteran options at a position that I think they have not fully addressed. But it suggests that maybe they don't think that it's as big of a need as the rest of us might think. And they have faith in DeAndre Swift as their number one guy, and they love Kyle Manungai so far, the seventh-round draft pick. And they might feel better about Roschon Johnson than many of us who have watched Roschon Johnson kind of stagnate over the last couple seasons. So I was more encouraged before this report that they might go out and get a veteran like Chubb or like Dobbins. But with those two guys looking elsewhere and the Bears showing tepid interest, apparently, sounds like they feel like they're set. I don't think they're set, but we'll see.
I don't think they're set for a team if you're thinking you're going to do something in like a postseason potentially, but I think they might be set. Do we really know the status of Roschon's health? I mean, he fully part as far as we know, but you don't hear anything about him. Like, you don't hear anything good, you don't hear anything bad. It's just like he's on the team. Nobody talks to him anymore. He was a great soundbite. Like, it just seems like he's just kind of there. He's not the coaches haven't been asked about him, so it's kind of a mystery. But again, I think the Texans also, though, like a weird team for Chubb to go to. You would think a guy like that would want to go to a team that was closer on paper to being, and you say, well, wait a minute, the Texans are pretty good. I think their quarterback, like, has got a shoulder, and it's June. Like, you shouldn't have a shoulder in June when you're a quarterback. So there's something alarming going on down there as well. But they might be the type of team that wants to ground and pound and lean on their defense. So maybe it does make more sense. Maybe he thinks it's a better option. Maybe Chubb thinks it's the Texans are a better option for him. Maybe the Bears tried and it didn't work out, and we'll find out about that later.
This is a really difficult one because I don't know that Chubb is fully healthy. I don't know that he isn't at this point still kind of a projection as to what he's going to look like next year. So I think that just talking to a couple of people over the weekend, they seem to believe that Dobbins was a better option than Chubb in terms of just his immediate health or his projected health during next season. You know, the problem with this is that, you know, if you believe that you're set at running back, I don't know that I believe you know what you're looking at. I wonder if one of these guys is necessary, and the problem now is that they're not going to be there. So you got to be careful about projecting things out of a mini camp where people aren't wearing uniforms, and this feels like they're making a mistake by not pursuing one of these guys. If both these guys end up signing, I think you're going to be bummed if there isn't an option left for the Bears before they get to training camp. Because I like a lot of people, believe they need an infusion of talent in that room.
I agree.
All right, we got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What's your take on the final series going on in the Stanley Cup and the NBA? Was last night's game expected the way you thought it would after someone on this panel predicted a gentleman's sweep? Will Edmonton and Florida go overtime yet again tonight?
We'll start with the NBA because that was the most recent one. Last night did not live up to Game 1 billing. It was a blowout, and it was not the double-digit fourth-quarter lead the Pacers were going to overcome this time. SGA played like the MVP. Alex Caruso had a big night, and the Thunder did what the Thunder do. They wore down the Pacers, and Tyrese Halliburton, last night's one of the reasons that prevent people from stamping him a superstar. You can't disappear for three of the four quarters in an NBA Finals game and be referred to as a superstar. So he's had an off night. We've talked about them not being able to take nights off, him or Siakam, and they did. So they go back to Indy. They got the game they wanted to steal, and we'll see what happens next. I still think it probably will be the Thunder. I don't think it will be Dustin's gentleman sweep. I don't think it'll be five. It'll likely be six or seven. Now, the Stanley Cup action, the final between the Panthers and the Oilers, that's where it's at. That game, Friday night, double overtime. Brad Marchand finishing it off for the Panthers. The Oilers losing at home. These have been two games that could not be more even. Every shift matters. The stars are playing like stars. They're playing with a sense of urgency that you love. And it's establishing, in my mind, why the Stanley Cup final is, from the beginning of the playoffs through the last game of the Stanley Cup final, the best tournament in professional sports. It's just the intensity is off the charts. So, yeah, tonight, glued to the set, watching that. I'm glad that, well, the Cubs will monitor the Cubs. Sox are off, and it's all about McDavid and the Oilers taking a 2-1 lead over the Panthers down in Florida.
Thunder in five. Panthers in seven.
I thought that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander played a really good game yesterday. And I thought that Tyrese Halliburton did not. Halliburton came out and didn't, it wasn't aggressive. I think they're a better team if he comes out and gets his own in the first half and then uses that to start setting up other people. But he tried to share the ball immediately. I thought playoff hockey, basketball, playoffs, period, professional teams, it is all about the adjustments. So you come out and you lose a game and then you make an adjustment and you win a game. And that we saw that happen in both of the series. And I don't know how subtle the adjustments were in hockey, because both games could have gone either way. Both games were pretty unbelievable in terms of how competitive they are. And I think that it's a sign that both teams are so well matched. So I couldn't tell you with any kind of certainty what's going to happen tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. And I don't know that I'll be able to do that after two more games. But I feel like the counter move now is to the Pacers. And I think that it'll be interesting to see what they look like at home. And I really think they've got a – I want to be careful how I say it. I'll just say it. I think they've got a coaching advantage. And I think that they will be more likely to be able to adjust than the other way around. So we'll see what happens.
It's great theater.
Love it.
Yeah, it's really the drama is delivering, at least in the NHL final. And I think the NBA, the intensity was there at OKC last night. The fans was like a college atmosphere.
312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
And the next offering, swinging a fly ball to right. It's deep. Back goes Perez on the warning track at the wall. That ball is gone for a home run. A high towering drive to straightaway right. That ball got some carry. And Pete Crow Armstrong with his 17th home run has just given the Cubs a 4-1 lead.
That is the Great Clip of the Week, brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, they had their moments. They had a couple of those on Saturday. Hit 5 home runs. That was nice. I think it was fun to hear post-game PCA and Seiya Suzuki going back and forth, the big brother, little brother routine. That was the highlight of the weekend, but it wasn't a great weekend in Detroit.
No, it wasn't a great weekend for the Cubs. It was a weekend that sort of reminded you that there was work yet to be done to improve the roster to the point where you feel like they can really move forward and get it all done. I'm not saying that's not a good team, but it's not. It's a team that needs improving, and it's a team that probably needs minimum one more stud pitcher to feel good about their chances.
Cade Horton goes 5 innings, 4 earned runs, 7 hits. He struck out 6, and he walked 2, but it was the damage done early in the first inning that got to him. And it makes you wonder about the idea of an opener for a pitcher who did that in his debut. They brought him up to help the major league team in New York and against the Mets because of the matchups, because of a lot of reasons. They used an opener, and it worked pretty well. I wonder if they tried to go back to that, much like they did with Ben Brown. I wonder how he would feel about it. But I think next time out, because of the way he struggled, relatively speaking, in first innings, might not be a bad move. I'm not a big opener guy.
It's so funny because you were so vehement against the opener the first time he was used, and you didn't want any part of it.
I don't like it. I really don't like it. I think that I think it's overstated the significance, but I also respect the fact that if these young pitchers, for whatever reason, find ways or struggle with whether it's anxiety or preparation or just the moment being a little bit too big just now, I'm open-minded to that possibility, even though I don't really like the trend and going in that direction.
312-644-6767. That's the number. Kevin is in Palatine. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think maybe instead of having Cade Horton have an opener, I think we need an opener for Quentin Berry. Because if you guys listen to Craig's comments after that game, Craig was pissed. He said, if he had it to do it over again, he goes, I would have suggested he watch the runner and the outfield. There is no way PCA would have been out. I don't know what he was doing. You would have had second and third, no outs. Scoob had already given up eight hits, and he almost gave up two homers. So it's not like, you know, they were completely shut out. Now, he's awesome. He's great, and that is clearly what this team is missing. But I like my third base coaches like I like my offensive linemen in football. I don't want to know who you are. I just don't want to hear you're making mistakes. And then he sent Hap, as Hap was pulling his wheelbarrow around third, even wow. though he was safe. It's still, you can't make that second out at home. They let him off the hook Friday night, and this guy had a bad weekend. The other person who had a horrible weekend, and he's turned back into a pumpkin, is Carson Kelly. His numbers the last 5 weeks are atrocious, and why he's hitting fourth or fifth. But Quentin Berry cost us that game Friday night. The Cubs could have won that game. They had Scooble on the ropes, and this guy, go stop. It's PCA. Let him go. That was atrocious. Thanks, guys.
It's a good point, Kevin. And I think when you saw that indecision, they were doomed. And you let Scooble off the hook, much of the way they let Mackenzie Gore off the hook in Washington with the bases loaded first inning, nothing happened. You can't let good pitchers have second chances like that. You got to take advantage when you can and seize the opportunity. But for the third time in about a week, Abbott from the Reds, Gore from the Nats, and then Scooble from the Tigers, they couldn't handle a tough lefty. And Michael Bush, by the way, was not in the lineup Friday night, and I think that was really ridiculous. Really ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it was back to kind of the normal, wasn't it? I mean, ridiculous is one way of looking at it, but they clearly have made that decision, David, and and it was just kind of back to the way they were handling things. They let him play in one game because they kind of had to, you know, he didn't get a hit till the lefty got out, and I guess that added to whatever the numbers are that won't make them not want him in the lineup against lefty.
I think he's been one of your more consistent hitters.
I agree.
Then he deserves a chance to get better. If he's not good enough against lefties, give him a chance. Move him down in the order. He doesn't have to be batting fourth or fifth. But also, Kevin makes a good point about Carson Kelly. It looks like his 15 minutes might be up.
Well, it looks like the pumpkin has turned into
a pumpkin. Or at least stop batting him fourth.
Yeah. I agree with you. 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.